On this episode of the Green Street Beat, we're talking with animal control manager Rodney Wegner.
So our number one priority when we pick up an animal is to try to get the dog or cat or animal or tortoise back to the owner as soon as possible. That's our number one priority, and we go out of our way to do that.
We discuss the role of animal control, how you can get involved and help animals in need, and how they're embracing innovation. Let's dive in. I'm joined today by animal control manager Rodney Wegner. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about animal control and about the shelter, but before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about you. How long have you been with the city?
I've been with the city about 12 years. I started out in 2007 as an animal control officer for about 4.5 years, and then got promoted to a supervisor over field services, which is our animal control officers. And then about 6 years ago, I became the manager of animal control.
What attracted you to Lee's Summit and this position in particular?
Well, I was living in Lee's Summit at the time, and I was in retail and security management and was wanting a change. And I grew up on a farm and had a passion for animals and things like that. When I saw the job come up, I thought that would be a pretty good field to try to go into. I also have a degree in criminal justice, and it was part of the police department. I figured that'd be a good law enforcement field to go into, and so 12 years later, here we go.
So what is the most rewarding aspect of your job with animal control?
Oh, probably just being able to help people out. We pride ourselves in the public service towards the Citizens Lee Summit. And to be able to go to somebody's house to help somebody out that's having a problem with an animal, or they just don't know what to do with an animal, like what the resources are, and we're able to give those to them or give them ideas of what to do. That's probably the most rewarding part, next to actually finding homes for animals. Finding homes for animals obviously are our main goal after public safety, and that is what we spend most of the time at the shelter on, is finding animals' homes.
I'm assuming in your line of work that you have to be an animal lover, so do you have a lot of animals at home yourself?
Actually, I only have one right now, which is a good thing for me. I've got myself down to one. But at the shelter, and of course it's a shelter animal. I've had several shelter animals, and but I also have a shelter cat at the shelter. Everybody calls my cat, and it has a bed in the office that spends a lot of time in there. And then on a daily basis, we have 90 to 95 animals in the shelter. Needless to say, I have a lot of animals in my life. No shortage of them.
So when I was looking at the numbers, I was just amazed at how many animals come through in a typical year. What is the average for you guys that you guys take care of in the course of a year?
It varies because we bring in domestic and wild animals. So we will handle about 4,000 to 4,500 animals per year. And that includes about 2,500 dogs and cats. And the rest of them are a lot of wild animals, everything from raccoons to possums to snakes, reptiles. And we will also bring in some different animals, I'll say. Like we've had to bring in peacocks. We caught a llama one time. We had an alligator in there one time. We had a couple African tortoises. Actually, we've had quite a few of those in there. And those are the big tortoises like you see at the zoo. Yeah. That weigh anywhere from 50 to like 300 pounds. And, you know, we literally got a call one day that said that I'm not drinking, but I'm pretty sure there's a dinosaur walking down the road, and it was one of these big turtles or tortoises. And so we had to go get those. And so we had those at shelter a couple of days, and those are actually really fun. It's actually fun for us because then we get to take care of an animal we've never had to take care of before, so we have to research how to take care of them, and it's actually fun. So it's about 4,500 per year.
So what happens with like those animals that are unique that come in? Like, how do you find a home for that, or find the correct place for those to go?
As long as they're not dangerous animals, we'll send them back. Like the tortoises and stuff, most of those have owners. They just happen to get loose. The same with other animals. Now, the alligator is a different story since that was a dangerous animal. It is about 4 feet long, and so we found a reptile farm for it to go to. There's also a guy outside town that has all sorts of reptiles and snakes. Everybody knows him, and he'll also take stuff like that. We get a lot of snakes that sometimes we don't even know what they are, and we'll look them up, try and figure out what they are, and we'll call him, and he'll come and get them, and and he finds a home for them. So we find homes for dogs, cats, and apparently snakes and alligators.
Do you find that you take in one type of animal more than another, such as like more dogs than cats or more cats than dogs?
I would say more dogs than anything. And that's probably because if you look at the way the public is, most of them are dog orientated. There's also a lot of attention towards cats too. But if somebody sees a cat running loose, they're like, nah, not a big deal, unless it's tearing up something. But if it's a dog, we'll always get a call on a dog.
So what is the process like when an animal is dropped off at the shelter or when you guys get a call and have to go pick up an animal? What happens?
Okay, so our number one priority when we pick up an animal is to try to get the dog or cat or animal or tortoise to the back to the owner as soon as possible. That's our number one priority. And we go out of our way to do that. We will scan for a microchip. This is in the field or at the shelter. We always scan for a microchip. We always look for ID, like a tag, anything that will give us some kind of ownership towards the animal. And if we do, we'll automatically call them. If we're in the field, we'll call them immediately and see if we can just take them right back home. The last thing we want to do is put the animals in the shelter. Generally, we can get most animals back almost immediately, if not the same day.
Well, and the good thing about the shelter is the fact that you guys have almost 100% adoption rate. It's in the high 90s, it seems. Absolutely. All the time. So you are able to find pretty much any animal that comes in a loving home.
Yes, and there's also a, when we bring them in, we also have the state requires us to have a 5-day waiting period. So if we bring in an animal with a 5-day holding period with a cat or a dog to see if an owner is going to show up. If the dog or cat has any type of ID or if it has a microchip or something, that's a whole different ballgame because then we know it has an owner or had an owner, and so we will keep it at least 10 days just to try to find an owner for the dog or cat. And generally within that time, we can find out if it has an owner and if they want the dog or cat back or whatever, and we'll get a rehome back to them.
And when you guys are trying to find new homes for these animals, it's not just Missouri and Kansas. You guys go far out of your way to find other homes. You have a lot of partners around the country that you work with. I know I saw that South Dakota, even Canada. So
yes.
How did those partnerships develop?
So Animal Control is, just like you said, all about partnerships. And we have a lot of partnerships with different rescue groups. We also have partnerships with an organization called Heart of American Humane Society, and they do a lot of volunteer work for us. And they will also take dogs on weekends, and they will get dogs out to different places to go to different states. We have people we call networkers, which is kind of a new thing the last couple of years, but it's working out great. And what they do is they come to shelters, they see what kind of dogs we have, and then they will... they have a network of people they know in the rescue field throughout the country, and they will call them, and they will literally network this dog out to see if they can find anywhere for it to go. And if they can, and then they will find a way to get the dog there. And like, that's how the ones went to Canada, South Dakota. We've had them go to California, Texas. They've been pretty well nationwide. One of the biggest challenges with that is getting the animal from us to them. And that usually happens with people that are called transporters, and they actually have vans and they just transport animals to and from these places. And those guys are like the unsung heroes about this, because they actually get the dogs and cats from us to Canada, and they might do 2 or 3 different stops. It could be like a relay to go somewhere. And I never even knew that existed until we started doing this. And now we get animals. We had a cat at the shelter several months ago, and we had a microchip, and it came back to a person in Minnesota. And so we called them. They're like, yeah, we thought that it was just gone. It's been gone like 5 months. Well, somehow made down to Kansas City, probably somebody brought down here. And we got a hold of a transporter, and they were able to get the cat back up to them within a day and a half.
Man, that's crazy.
So it's pretty amazing. So it's the whole idea about getting animals moved is to get them out in the public, to get them in a system that is willing to take them. And yeah, it actually works really well. It really does.
So what is the furthest away place that an animal's been adopted?
Mile-wise, I'm not sure. Canada's a pretty good one. There's a couple of them up there. I know one went to Maine a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure about the mileage, but I'm pretty sure that's got to be pretty close.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have there's been a lot of them go a long way. And it's surprising. We actually have some people that will, some people in Colorado that take dogs, and they will actually put them on a plane and they will fly them out there. which is, that was amazing to me. I didn't know that was a thing. And so they do that quite often, and they're needing the hours to do that, and they want to volunteer, so I want to help dogs. And so it's always funny to get pictures back of our dogs sitting in the co-pilot seat of these little planes with little earmuffs on, you know, flying across the country somewhere. It's pretty amazing, actually. But that's what happens when people with like minds have a passion for animals. It's amazing when you get the resources together what you can do. Most of the time, if you can't get these pets moved or something, it's usually a resource issue. It's you just can't get them out there to where you need to get them.
So at the animal shelter, how are you guys able to make sure that all of these animals are getting the love and affection that they need and getting proper exercise and all that?
So the main problem with a sheltering or even rescues is boredom for dogs. You know, you get like a little Australian Shepherd who has to do a million things a second, and you have an older dog just wants to lay around, but they have to have some kind of stimulation, because they'll just be bored to death. We walk them, we take them out and walk them at least a minimum of 2 times a day. We have a lot of volunteers and community service people, and they will also walk the dogs. They get walked several times a day. But other than that, we also do stuff. We have what's called enrichment programs. We also call them like brain games. And so they'll have like little dishes with like mazes and like little things that'll flip up and little round things that'll move. And you put treats in there, and they have to flip it around to get the treat out. And they have to flip this up or move this to get a treat out. And what that does is that gets their brain moving and gets them working a little bit, and it keeps them occupied, and it tends to, you know, give them something to do for a little bit.
So. Well, and I was going to mention the volunteer aspect of this too, because there are a lot of chances for people who are interested in helping these animals volunteer at the shelter and give their time to give them the love and attention and take them on walks and things. So what are some of those opportunities available?
Absolutely. We have two main ways that people volunteer at shelter. And one is people can just walk in and volunteer. They can call up and sign up for a time. And they can just come out and just walk the dogs. And they can we will let them do whatever they're comfortable with. You know, if they want to come in and play with cats, hey, more power to you. We got a lot of cats. We have a lot of dogs need to be walked. Some want to come in and clean kennels. I know that's kind of weird, but some people want to come in and actually do the manual labor. There's a lot of manual labor at that shelter to do. When they come in, they want to do that. That's their fulfillment, is to come in and help clean animals and stuff like that. So it's really cool. We also have a community service program through the court. And so if people get like, if somebody goes in and gets like 20 hours community service, they can come out and sign up, and they will work at the shelter out there for the community service. And there's been a lot of cool relationships there too. People have come back and adopted dogs out there. They just, you know, people, you know, we'll come in and get a connection with an animal, with workmen, and they'll come in and they'll adopt a dog. So, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. We also have, I spoke about Harp American Humane Society a while ago. They do a lot of adoption events for us and things like that. And they're always looking for people to volunteer with them for weekend adoption events and fostering and stuff like that too. So.
Well, I know it has to be a happy moment whenever an animal gets adopted and finds a new family, but I would assume it also has to be kind of hard for staff and everybody at the shelter who kind of get used to these dogs and cats coming every day and hanging out with them.
Yeah, you know, we'll get some long-term animals been in there for a month or two, and when they get adopted, it's awesome, but there's also a lot of tears because they've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into these dogs, and they consider them their own, you know, when they leave. But it's awesome because most of the owners will send us pictures back and things like that. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, you'll see the dog come in. It might be skinny, it might be has some medical issues, and we'll get them all healthy and stuff like that. And he goes out to the owners, and a couple months later to send pictures. And it's cool to see the whole series of that from the beginning, when it's almost like a helpless situation, to where they're out and now they're out and about, and it's awesome. And a lot of times they bring back to shelter for us to see. And it's cool to see that whole progression. And that's actually very fulfilling for us.
You guys, when it comes to adoptions, you partner up and you do weekly adoption events every Saturday, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Heart of America, Humane Society I spoke of, they come out and they take dogs out to PetSmart and things like that. And they are a great organization, completely volunteer-based. And the time and energy they put into our shelter is amazing. And we couldn't do the things we could without them. And they've been there, I've been there 12 years, and they were there before I was. And so they've been a mainstay at the shelter. And there's also a lot of other adoption events we'll do, like you know, Booze Barks and Badges from last weekend. We had a couple dogs out there. We had a Dogtoberfest a couple weeks ago where it was a big food drive for the shelter out at Lake Jacomo, and we had a dog adopted out there. And so there's everywhere we go, we drag dogs along with us to, and we could spend time with them. And as a general rule, they will get looked at. And it's all about getting them out in the public for people to see what kind of a great dog they are. And the big thing nowadays is the big push is with senior dogs and like that. And I have a kind of soft spot for senior dogs. And so it's nice to see that there's so many rescue groups out there for senior dogs. And a lot of our networkers that I was speaking of earlier have connections just with groups that take senior dogs and dogs with serious medical conditions. It could even be like a hospice situation. And so instead of them having to be humane and euthanized, we can put them into a situation to where they have like a hospice, almost like a human, where they have a hospice type situation and for like an end of life strategy. And so it's neat to see those specialized groups starting up. It's just really nice to see that.
So we do want to mention Lee Summit Animal Control. It is not considered a no-kill shelter, but your adoption rate is above 90%. It's not about euthanizing animals or anything for space. It normally comes down to medical issues or some type of complication that those animals are suffering from. That's the reason the decision has to be made, correct?
Absolutely. Euthanization is always a hard thing to talk about, but it is a fact that we have to deal with. And it's... there's two reasons that we would humanely euthanize at shelter, and that'd be for serious aggression reasons and serious medical reasons. And I've said before that we have ways to get many of the animals out. They have serious medical issues, but some of them have to be done immediately, and so it's a different deal. We have the same kind of euthanasia policy as what Wayside Waves has, which is medical and aggression reasons only, and then the rest of them, we do whatever we can to get them adopted out. And it's worked for him. We do have a high adoption rate out the shelter, and that it also helps that we have a really nice shelter out there. In 2008, we got to open up a new shelter, about a 20,000 foot facility, and that's all because of the support of the citizens of Lee Summit. And with their support, they were able to build a beautiful shelter out there, and all of this helps with us giving a better life for the animals.
And you had mentioned earlier before we started recording that it's not, when it comes to aggression, it's not just one person making the decision of whether an animal is aggressive or not. It's actually kind of a panel approach that you guys take to that.
Yes, I always look at every person that's had contact with the animals, and most people in the shelter do have contact with the animals. And so we have three or four main people that deal with all the animals in the shelter, and I always like to get a consensus as to what we should do, what is best for the animal before we proceed with it. We always side on the side of caution. If we ever think that there's a chance that this dog is going to make it and we're going to do good, we will keep the animal. And we've actually been able to get some more money in our budget to be able to do the medical procedures that we have never been able to do in the past. And it's actually nice because we saved a lot of animals that way. They're a little bit more expensive, but it's actually worked out very well. And most of them have gone into medical fosters and to where they will rehab them, because it's usually a long rehab situation. And at the end of that, they will get adopted out.
Do you guys see more of a certain type of breed, or do you see more older dogs or younger dogs or younger animals? Or is it just kind of a broad mix of everything?
Kind of a broad mix. So you can figure that the three main dogs that people like, that people have, I should say, in this world are like German Shepherds, some kind of Lab or Lab mix, and then Pit Bulls are very big right now. So those three types of dogs, probably I'd say 50% of our intakes are those three dogs, maybe more than that. And so they're very heavily, and it's either those or a mix of those. And so it's not unusual to see those three dogs, that they'll switch one, two, and three each year with how many we intake from those dogs. And we are what's considered a pit bull friendly city. We don't have a pit bull ban. And so we have a lot of people that move to Lee Summit just to bring pit bulls in. And we're fine with that. We have employees at the shelter that have pit bulls. And so it's always those three breeds that tend to be the most prevalent with us. So.
You mentioned earlier about how you guys have such a nice facility. You guys are also kind of leading the way in innovation when it comes to the city. Last year, you had solar panels installed on the side of the building. What have the results been like that so far?
That's pretty interesting. High schooler named Zach Burton had come up with the idea that we should get some solar panels in the city, and he came to city council and did a presentation about how he thought it would help and put it out at the animal control facility. And it was an interesting process to see that start. It was really cool for Zach to see that since he was a high schooler going through this big, you know, government process. But yeah, we got those in, and I believe it is the grand opening is like, or the groundbreaking was like July of 2018, I believe. It has 96 panels. It's like 30 kilowatts. It takes about 10 to 15% of the shelter power is now created by solar panels. During the summer, it's really going crazy in there. We have a little thing that tells us today, not so much, you know? And so, but yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And what that also did, that helped us kind of look at the other options we have for the shelter, like our parking lot lights. They were going out quite often, so we replaced them with LED lights, which were like a third less power, but three times as bright or whatever it is. And so it worked out really well. So we have a lot of cost saving stuff going around just to enhance the fact that we have solar power out there. We get a lot of interest from that. We get a lot of calls on it, and people will pull up. It's like, what is that over there? And they'll walk over trying to figure out what's over there, because it's not every day you see solar panels at an animal shelter. But
yeah. And you guys are kind of like the pilot project, because I know a few other city properties could be getting them in the future too. So you guys kind of been leading the way for the city.
Yeah, I guess that was a good first step, and I think it'll be a good thing. And another good thing is with them being out there, they're on a side lot, but we can still walk dogs around them and stuff like that. So it's kind of neat to see people out there walking dogs around solar panels. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of a neat thing to have at a shelter. Yeah.
What other, I guess, big projects do you guys have going on right now, or any big plans for the future at the shelter?
Well, our biggest project right now is we're trying to become even more widespread in our outreach programs. We have so much stuff that we could educate people on. We like to do stuff with Girl Scout groups. We have groups that come out to shelter. We have groups that come out and read to the dogs, which is kind of funny. It's kind of a new thing. We have the Boy Scouts come out. A lot of them will do Eagle Scout projects out at the shelter. And there's, we go to like different schools and stuff for career days and things like that. So there's a lot of stuff that we would do, we'd like to do more of in the public. Right now, including the adoption events on the weekends, we probably do close to 80 to 100 different outreach things a year, different events. And we would like to do even more of that, just because that's where you make the big difference at. You know, the big difference isn't when you walk up the door and knock on somebody, tell them that their dogs run loose. The big difference is when you talk to a 10 or 12 or even a 5-year-old child the first time about animal control and how to take care of their animals and proper animal care and stuff. That's where you make the big difference at. You know, you're starting them at a young age. They now know that this is what is expected, and they move on. And so it's just part of their life. And so you're changing entire generations by doing that. And that's what we'd like to become more prevalent in this year.
What do you think is the most important thing for people to know about the animal shelter?
The most important thing is that we are, number one, a public service and for the people here. And we, our number one concern is public safety and education. And our second one is the safety of animals. And that's our main goals, is those right there. Sometimes that can switch a little. If we go to a house and it's a neglect call and this dog's in really bad shape, all of a sudden this dog's number one on our priority list, you know? And so it changes, but it is very important for people to know that we are there for anything they need, animal control-wise. They can call us anytime. We have officers from 8 in the morning, animal control officers from 8 in the morning till 11 at night on most days. And after 11, we can get called out to emergencies. So that it is a full-service division. The shelter is open every day except for holidays, which is very uncommon in the metro area. And so we do whatever we can for the people and animals of Lee's Summit. And our staff is absolutely, they work to death out there. I mean, those guys, thankless job sometimes. Those guys work a lot of hours out there real hard, and just a bunch of crazy animal lovers out there having a good time.
So for those listening who are interested in possibly adopting an animal, where can they go to see the current dogs, cats, animals available for adoption?
Well, there's a couple places they can go. First of all, they can come out to the shelter, which is always nice, because if they come out there, they can get firsthand knowledge. They can get, like, they can actually, we have community service rooms where they can go in and have literally a one-to-one thing with the dog. They can bring their animals in. We recommend they bring their animals in. That way they can tell immediately if they're going to get along or whatever. You can go to our website, you know, the city website, and go to animal control, And there's a link on there where you can go to a Pet Harbor, which has all of our dogs available for adoption on. It also has, part of the site is dogs that have been picked up and are what we call stray weight. They were a stray roaming dog. We haven't found an owner yet. And they'll also be in there. So people, if they're missing their dog, they can go to that site and they can look and say, oh, yeah, there's Fido right there. And so they can come to us and we can get their dog back to them. And so there's that. And then they can also see that, you know, after 5 or 10 days, these dogs are going to be coming up for adoption. So they can look at that. They can come in. They can come to shelter and look at the dog. And if they like what they see, then they can put their name on the adoption list to be the first one contacted when they come up for adoption.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode. We'd love to hear from you. Send your comments or ideas for future topics to communications@cityofls.net.